Hi, welcome to All These Things Podcast. I'm James.
And I'm Artesia.
We're a married couple in our late 20s navigating life in corporate America.
One part auditor.
One part PR professional.
No kids yet, but in the meantime, we enjoy traveling, finding unique events, and plotting our next adventure. On All These Things, we talk about all things relationships, success, culture, wealth, inspiration, and whatever else is top of mind. Listen in and enjoy All These Things Podcast.
Let's start the show.
We are back recording the podcast.
Yes, we are back.
And we are live from New York City. Oh no, we're not. We're in Long Island. It's a little bit different.
It's you all know, these things podcast.
We don't have our scenery like we used to, but it's nice out here too.
I mean, it is what it is.
We are back. It has been 6 months since we did a podcast. 6 months and 5 days. And that was not necessarily intentional. I mean, I think we stopped doing it right before one of our friends' wedding, and I think we were planning on taking like a week off, but we ended up taking 6 months off.
So here's how it all went down. We had just come back from that wedding, and the plan was we're going to do the whole work and school thing for a little bit, and then I was going to go to China. But the night before I was supposed to go to China, my mom was diagnosed with cancer. So that pretty much changed everything within, I don't know, maybe a 4 to 5 hour time span. And since then, we have just been in a whole new frame of life.
Yeah, that kind of changed everything in like 24 hours. And we had to kind of shift very quickly. I remember a lot of uncertainty. Like, are you going to China? You're supposed to go for school. And we were in the hospital like, I'm supposed to go somewhere in 7 hours. Is this really happening? And how are we going to deal? And I remember we were waiting for the doctor and he didn't show up until like midnight, which was very frustrating.
Right. Because every 5 minutes it was like, he's coming. He'll be here in 10 minutes.
Yeah.
No, not the case. But that's neither here nor there. The fact of the matter is, at that point, everything was uncertain. And very quickly we started making decisions based on what was just right in front of us. So I didn't go on that trip, and we ended up walking through weeks of process to make sure that my mom was getting stable and that she was getting the immediate care that she needed. And part of that process has turned into us moving. So we decided we needed to move from the city out to Long Island so that we could be closer to her.
And, oh, so close. It's not just closer. We moved in.
Well, that's close. That's close.
Yes.
So, you know, at that point, I didn't quite think about much. It was just like, okay, this is what needs to happen. This is what we need to do. And it was just go, because this is what we have to do. And then we'll talk about the next set of changes or whatever happens tomorrow.
Yeah, you're right. It was like, go. Everything was number one priority. Everything had to be done. You know, everything, our to-do list at that time, I guess over those few months, was always long, and everything was priority. Everything had to get done. And I think that we showed a lot of teamwork in that situation, but it was kind of like, you don't get any preparation. You just have to do it.
You do what you must. And it's just, that's just how you operate. You go from, you know, being a grown child, put it that way, to kind of managing things because someone can't for a period of time. So that's kind of where we are. So thankfully, treatment's going well. So that's always a big plus, and life is starting to get back to some constant, more level place. I hesitate to say normal because it's just new and things are still changing.
Yeah, things are changing. I do think we've reached what we are calling our new normal. We're definitely able to get into a routine. And I think that that's been really helpful. That's one of the reasons why we can podcast again, is because I feel like we finally have some semblance of normalcy and, you know, expectations on how the day is going to go, how the week is going to go. And that's been nice, I feel like.
For sure. Now, I've, you know, kind of said sometimes that my life tends to run in patterns, and I end up being in places and doing things at times when I don't imagine that was going to be the case. I think I first noticed it when I visited a professor at the time. A group of us went out to his house way in Virginia, and we took the metro out there, and I thought, who lives out here? This is so far. Why would I ever do that? And literally ended up living right at that same metro stop my first year out of college. So when we came to New York, you know, we were out here and I was pretty dead set about not living out here. I was gonna, like, I need to live in the city. I want to be closer to work and everything else. And here we are, right where we started. Mm-hmm. Started from the bottom, now we're here.
Started from the bottom, now we're back.
Now we're back.
Well, no, it's kind of interesting because when we first moved to New York, everything, for anyone who doesn't know, we were getting married, and 2 weeks before our wedding, James got a job in New York, and so we had to kind of pick up everything and move very quickly for that great opportunity. And so what we did was we moved in to James' mom's house. And I remember when we first moved in, we were like, this is so temporary. We are getting our own place. And I know I wanted, like, New York City, you know, Fabulo apartment.
Yeah, you wanted full Sex in the City.
Yeah, so I was really going for that. And I remember it was October, November, and December that we were here, and we here in Long Island, but we were constantly looking for apartments. And so almost exactly 2 years after getting an apartment, we're back here.
I know. And as you were saying, it's kind of everything happening at once. And so fast forward 2 years, not only are we back here, but I have a new job, I'm in school. So all of that kind of starts to weave into the same time frame of just needing to do things and keep moving.
Well, you got your job offer in the middle of us kind of dealing with all this medical stuff. And so it was one of those things where it's like, well, this is such a blessing to have a new job. And but like the timing, I mean, you were so busy. It was like, okay, when you start a new job, you can't ask for time off, and you know, nobody knows you to give you leeway, you know,
right.
But there were a lot of appointments that you had to go to, a lot of things that, you know, you had to schedule. And at the same time, I also just got promoted. And so I was like, I can't slack either. You know?
Right. And I think you get into a mode where you need to just do what you have to do. But at the same time, I think this is something we talked about as a past be better. You need to protect your time. Because in some ways we needed to be here, in other ways we needed to be dealing with medical appointments, but in other times we needed to be at work. And it's just about focusing on, okay, what do I have time to do? What do I not have time to do? And I guess we're saying all that because I feel like I've come out on the other side better, with sure. a more knowledge and understanding of how things are and how things need to be.
And I think that, as well as coming out with more appreciation for people and not necessarily empathy, but I feel like I can better understand maybe coworkers or other people who I've known who've had to, like, care for someone, just being like, man, you never really know what people are going through, you know? And we're taking our own lives in that account. It's like, we're really busy. We're really stressed. We're really trying to keep it all together. And from the outside looking in, everybody doesn't know that. And so it kind of opened my eyes to be like, you know what? Give people a break. I don't know what they're dealing with.
For sure.
You know, and kind of trying to be aware of that at all times. But on a more light note, I have been getting, you know, questions from my friends about how is it living with the in-laws? And for you, how is it living back at home? From a fun perspective.
From a fun, I don't know if there is a fun perspective to that. But
is there a fun way to live at home at 30?
No, I think it may be fun for them to hear about it. Because I think we could do a full-on reality show. Because, I mean, I went to boarding school. So I left home technically at 13. I've clearly been back and spent time, but not full-time like this, where it's like, this is where you're coming every day with no expectation of being anywhere else. It's like, so how do you kind of reverse the scales? I had friends who went home right after college to live, and then they got jobs and all that good stuff. But that wasn't me. I moved into an apartment, and I stayed there. So it's kind of like grown and 30 and at home. It could be a own little reality show of like all the dynamics at play. And I'm sure you have your own dynamics kind of not doing it. Because I grew up with my mom, so I kind of know all the quirks. But it's all stuff for you to learn and new things.
Well, it's funny because I was talking to another friend who ended up moving in with their in-laws while they were saving for a house. And kind of they're swapping stories of just, you know, other people's space and what people think of how you live, I guess you can say, which is kind of, it's kind of hard to change like who you are at 30. Like, I'm sure on the weekends when I've slept till noon that your mom was like, what is she doing sleeping till noon? But yeah. It's just like, this is my weekend. I don't have anything to do. I want to just binge Netflix or just sleep. and do something in the night. And that's, I've been kind of hyper aware of how things may appear to a outside viewer.
To an outside viewer.
Because before, to spectator. Well, think, because before it was just like you, right? Like, if I'm sleeping till noon, who knows about that? Just you. But you've known that about me since 2011. But now I'm like, my mother-in-law is seeing that I do this. It's kind of embarrassing, but...
Is it embarrassing? If it's embarrassing, maybe we should change it.
No, it's kind of embarrassing, but I'm like, this is who I am.
Is it?
I have to be me.
Is it who you want to be?
I mean, there's nothing wrong. Listen, I work 5 days a week, and I get 2 days off, and I thought, I want to sleep, and that's what I'll do.
Okay, fair enough.
But because everything has been crazy busy, we kind of decided to push all of our holidays and celebrations into one trip. We were like, you know what? Let's ease up on Christmas and New Year's, but then we're going to go to San Francisco and Napa Valley and just have a great time.
Which really was fun. I mean, I've been to San Francisco a few times, but had never gone to Napa. And, you know, people were saying, well, you know, the weather might be iffy, but it was actually, you know what? It was a little chilly, but it was good. And it kind of confirmed for me, at least, I know you've been a believer of this, that off-season is the way to be.
I love traveling on off-season because I really don't like crowds. So I'm willing to deal with like a change in the weather if I can walk freely wherever I am. And that's usually what happens.
But now we're back. So right now we're going to go ahead and kick it off with Be Better.
Be Better is our segment where we give you a tip or trick that you can use during your week to make your work life or your relationship life better.
Okay, my Be Better this week is increase your awareness and broaden your knowledge. And the way that I think this Be Better can be implemented for your week is to dedicate 30 to 40 minutes to read two articles in the categories that I'm going to explain in a minute. What I think this will do is it'll get you out of your normal news cycle. Sometimes when I'm scrolling on my Facebook and I see the articles that people share, it's a little overwhelming and sometimes it's repetitive. And so what I wanted to do is start to look at news from a different perspective. And I've dedicated over the past week, and I think I'm going to keep doing it moving forward, is to read two articles for all these categories. So world news, something that's happening outside of the U.S. Nation news, something that's happening in the U.S. And then two articles about my state or city. So that'll be anything about New York State, largely about New York City. It's kind of hard to find something. It seems like it's hard to find something outside of New York City when I'm searching for news.
Right.
So I kind of combine those two. And then I also want to look at the county and really try to pick up more truly local news. What's happening in my neighborhood? And then to keep fresh on my industry and development, I'm reading two articles a day in my industry, which is media, cable, technology, and then reading two articles that have to do with my field. So this is going to be, again, for personal development. So I'm an auditor, so I'm going to be reading about internal audit, risk management, controls and processes, anything I can get my hand on, two articles a day. And then end it with reading two articles that are just for fun. Anything that is a hobby of yours, anything for personal enjoyment, gossip article, you know, you can read something about a celebrity. It doesn't really matter. That's just for you. And I think that what that does over time is it makes you a more interesting person, really, like at its full potential.
Yeah, it's always great when you have a variety of things to say.
Right.
When you're talking to
folks. Yeah. If you are kind of getting this, you know, huge space of news, you know, the stories are going to start to stick with you. And I don't think you have to read them as if they're a book report. No one's going to test you on it after you read it.
But I will.
If you try to test me on it, you will not be getting a response. So.
Really?
Really.
Hmm.
But the thing is, nobody's going to test you on it. It's just for your general knowledge. And I think that what we'll find is that if we just know more, that it will come in handy and that we will just by default become more interesting people to talk to. And of course, that can have exponential benefits when it comes to networking, meeting new people, and things like that. So that's my Be Better for the week.
So basically, your Be Better is stay woke. Can we sum it up all as that?
No, it's not really stay woke, though.
It's not, it stay woke plus?
It's not really stay woke plus. It's just, it's really is like broaden your knowledge. just, it doesn't, it can be anything. It doesn't necessarily have to be about being woke or not.
Okay.
What's your be better?
My be better is lead your own personal development morning. Now, this is something that I had to adapt given my current schedule. But really, what the idea behind this is that you take time at least once a week, maybe bi-weekly, depending on what's going on with you, to think about your life, your career, your goals, and what your strategy is for achieving them. And I think that's really just how you kick it off. But afterwards, as you do other personal development mornings or days or weekends is really the best if you have the time for it, you can start to think about the things that really drive you and build towards that. So if your, you know, life and your goal is geared towards becoming an awesome artist, you want to go to galleries and you want to have time to paint and you want to do all these things that allow you to kind of explore your art, even if that's not your main focus right now, that's where you're trying to be. And it's the whole idea is you're personally developing and taking that time for you. Because so often we get caught up in all the things we have to do that we don't take the time for the things we really want to do that feed your soul. So that's the whole point of this be better. So I'm condensing it into a morning. So I say lead your own personal development morning.
Okay, that's good. Short and sweet. All right, let's get to all things success.
In All Things Success, we discuss how you can navigate workplace issues, advance your career, and be a boss in general. For All Things Success, we have this graphic that was on LinkedIn. It's from this guy called Andrew McGregor, and he talks about the need to always leave on time. So he has 7 points here, but if we focus in on a few of them, one that jumps out at me is he says that work's a never-ending process. It can never be complete.
Exactly. There's always going to be more work to do the next day. It's so rare for you to be like, wow, work is done. I have completed work. No, there's always something for tomorrow.
Yeah, it's like if you've really done all the work that there is to do, like, do you need that job or do they need you?
Right.
There's always something.
Yeah, it's like the work's going to be here tomorrow, so go ahead and leave on time because you're not going to get to a point where it's done.
But sometimes I can see where it's like, look, let me just stay an extra hour so I can get more of this done, so I can have a better day tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
Because while you might want to leave on time, sometimes you're in a groove. I don't know. I feel like I'm in a more of a creative industry. And like when I have to write, like if I'm in the mood to write, like do it and get it done. As I think about like blogging and other stuff now, I'm just, I wish I could be in a space to write when I get the energy. Because if it's not there, it doesn't work.
Mm-hmm.
And then you end up just not doing what you need to do. And then you end up having to have longer days. So I see what he's saying.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm with it because it will be there tomorrow. But sometimes you want to just hunker down and really get it done. Or maybe that's just how I work. Maybe some other people are fine. They can turn it on and off whenever.
I'm trying to be closer to that. Like, turn it off. Turn it off. It'll be here tomorrow.
Jeez. Okay. Now, this one is one that is kind of near and dear to my heart in terms of what he's saying here. I fully get it. He says, if you fall in life, neither your boss nor your client will offer you a helping hand. Your family and your friends will.
Yeah, because these ain't loyal.
Really? Do you have to edit yourself? I mean, we all know what the song is.
I don't know what you're referring to, but
okay.
Let's just say that quote is real. Because when/if shit hits the fan.
Wow. Let me just say, you edited yourself in the song, but you said when shit hits the fan.
I'm just
anyway,
saying.
Go ahead.
The quote, it's true. If you fall in life, I mean, your friends and family are the ones who are going to be there for you, and you need to be dedicating time to them. And so that sometimes means that you need to be leaving work on time so that you can be with them. Because you're basically choosing to be with your work and boss versus be with your family and friends. And to the extent that you have the option, choose your family and friends every time because jobs change, bosses change. Those are temporary situations. Usually your family and friends are more mainstays.
Now, that is 100% true. But what I will say is this. Early on in my career, I think I went through a period where, you know, we were all racing and fighting to kind of get that promotion. And a few people that I knew did get it, and I did. And that's when I started to get some perspective because work was really all I was doing at that time. I wasn't dating anybody at the time. I wouldn't have much outside of that to do. But it really started to let me know you cannot have all your eggs in one basket.
Exactly.
So when people are trying to say, like, I'm trying to grind and build, that's good, but you mentally and emotionally need to give yourself some time in other places, but also just for your own sanity, you need to, and in a long-term way, you need to have a good amount of time invested in work, but then also in relationships with friends and family. And then also, I'm going to come back to that be better, something for you that you just enjoy, because it will happen when you will have a crap day at work or home life will not be great. And you need a balance. You need something in your life going well for you to make it, because otherwise it's just going to be that much harder for you. So I get where he's going, but I'm putting another layer on it. You want to have balance in your life.
One that I like on this one is he says, again, reasons to leave the office on time. It's because a person who stays late at the office is not a hardworking person. Instead, he or she is a fool who does not know how to manage work within a stipulated period of time. They are a loser who does not have a personal or social life. They are inefficient and incompetent in their work.
This one, I'm going to say he's biased. There's something going on that is bothering him.
No. He's just being straightforward, because I worked in industry, client-facing industry, where people would stay super late. And a lot of times you had to, just because that you had that much work. And that was the kind of the culture. But it was argued sometimes if people needed to stay that late, or if they just wanted to look like they were working hard. And if you got all your work done within, say, the 8 hours that you're on the job, it, because you're efficient and you're fast and you're good, why should I sit here for an extra 3 hours just because, what, to save face? I'm good. I finished everything I need to do.
I mean, if it's clear people are doing to save face, then fine. Yes, that's dumb. But I think he's just kind of sweeping everything else that could cause you to stay late at work under the rug. Like, what if you just need more time to work through things and think through things than somebody else does? That's just a different pattern. That doesn't mean you're a fool. That means you're not as fast as somebody else, or it just requires more effort. So I get where you're going with it again, but this one seems like he's got a lot going on.
You just don't like the harsh language.
No, you say I'm a pretty harsh person when I criticize people. I just don't think, maybe I'm sensitive around this work thing, and I got to find out what this guy does, because he's using some keywords here. Manage time. I'm like, do you work in a consulting company or something where you have to think about billable hours and stuff like that? He seems like somebody who's been bitten the hard way in terms of like over-servicing. That's what this sounds like. But anyway, maybe it's too close to home. One thing that is also here that's worth talking about is his last point, where he says, if your boss forces you to work late, he or she may be ineffective and have a meaningless life too.
So, okay, wait. Okay, I'm seeing the shade.
Right. I'm like,
he's quite salty.
You have had some negative experiences here, and you were saying like, no, really, we need to leave on time.
Well, what that's his whole point. He really wants to show you, like, get out. Like, you don't need to be here.
And what I will say is, people will do all kinds of things to manipulate you into staying at work. Also, sometimes, even when they leave, and that is something that you just have to weigh, how much is this project worth to you in your career development? Because, like you said, bosses change. I have seen the sun rise and set on people so quick.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes I think we feel like by doing these things, by staying hours late and pouring ourselves into some of this work, that we feel like we're going to get some sort of benefit down the road. And the minute your boss leaves, or the minute that somehow people in the organization feel like that's not the right project, or they are not the right special person in the organization, all that capital you've been trying to build is worth nothing. So if you're missing birthdays and everything else because you're like, oh, I have to do project X, I hope and pray you get what you want out of it, because sometimes you don't. And that is sometimes something you risk and you lose making that kind of bet.
Yeah, like you said, the birthdays, the experiences, if you told somebody you were coming to somewhere and you have to always cancel, if you're that person who always has to cancel everything, you know, see if there's an opportunity for you to reevaluate that so that you can leave and actually enjoy your life. You know, you're right. There's a balance between kind of grinding and living. And for some people, grinding and living are the same. But for a lot of people, there are two separate lanes. You know, you have your work life and your life. And to the extent that those are two separate lanes, try to get out of the office on time. Whatever on time means for you, you know, depending on your shift and in your industry. But try to make sure you have the balance.
And ultimately, I mean, I know I've been on the side of like, oh, yeah, leave on time. But the honest goodness truth is, if you are killing it, straight killing it at work, people are not going to make that much of a fuss if you're not around. They may try to give you more work and more projects because, like, oh, you're so great, we need you on this and that. But you, over time, will get some of that flexibility to pick and choose a little bit more how you spend your time. And the case is, sometimes you get to be a little bit flexible with that as well. So leaving the office on time doesn't always mean that work stops.
True.
It means that you left on time to do what you needed to do for your family, for your friends, for yourself. But this really is just making sure that you're investing enough time in yourself and your family and your friends as you are investing in work. That's really what it comes down to for me.
Okay, so we're going to hit all things relationships.
In all things relationships, we dig into the hot topics all couples deal with from both a men's and women's perspective.
So, like I mentioned, we went to San Francisco and Napa, and we ended up going with two of our friends, the two that got married in Buffalo. And unfortunately, I'm sad to say that we had one occasion on that trip where we were those people. We were that couple.
Yeah, we really did it in a way that I don't think either of us would have ever anticipated.
It was, like, looking back, it's kind of cringeworthy. I'm kind of embarrassed. Actually, not kind of embarrassed. I'm actually truly embarrassed. And I'm sure they're going to listen to the podcast and be like, yeah, that was pretty bad. But it happened.
So the it we're referring to is pretty much this. We had a pseudo argument / just straight on argument in front of our friends, to the point where, like, they were also involved in the conversation, I think trying to, like, appease us and kind of get to a resolution.
Yeah, they started off by asking us a question, and we, like, disagreed on the answer, and it quickly went from a conversation to an argument. And while there were four of us at the table, it became an argument between the two of us in front of them. And it was like, oh, this is going south. And then, like, and, yeah, we are really arguing right now.
Right. And it was so unusual for me to think that I'd ever be in a situation like that. Because, you know, surprise, surprise, I'm a pretty private person. Like, the fact that I'm even talking about this now is kind of like, wow. Because this was really real, in terms of the kind of discussion we had and the fact that it happened in front of our friends, that, you know, it kind of exposed a lot about how I feel about things that really should have been a private conversation. And usually, especially between us, I try to keep that type of stuff where it's you and I trying to discuss something.
Right.
100% between you and I.
And I think that, I don't know. I don't know if it was, like, combination, like, wine and, like, good food.
Wine definitely had something to do with it.
But it was like,
I was in an unusually sharing mode.
Exactly. So was I. And it was one of those things where it was like, oh, so you feel this way about this? Well, I feel this way. Oh, no, we need to resolve this now. And for some reason, over lunch, that's what happened, to the point where we were going back and forth. You were getting frustrated with me. I was getting frustrated with you. Our friends were, like, trying to make kind of like a joke to kind of lighten the mood, or they, yeah, were, but I, they were trying to say, like, oh, we see both sides.
And I was like, no, what do you think? Speak. I was really pulling them, yeah, into it. And
then at the end of it, I was like, I got up.
You were done.
And I went downstairs, and I, you know, it's one of those things where it's like, I need to go. And I left. And even when I walked away, I was like, this is so embarrassing. But I couldn't control the emotion. Like, I was like, I have to go out here. I'm, like, downstairs, I'm crying. And then I get my stuff back to get myself together, and I come back upstairs. But now we're doing, like, silent treatment to each other, which made it a lot, I don't know, what's worse, right? Like, arguing in front of somebody or silent treatment?
Well, the silent treatment followed by the argument is what made it just like, okay, we can't even cut this tension if we tried. So now we need to kind of both go to our respective corners until people
level out. But there really was no corner to go to because we're in a restaurant. And then our friends were like, okay, so I guess we should go on to the next place. And it was just like, fine.
Because at that point, we were just over everything.
I'm sitting here with my hand on my head right now because I'm, like, going back to that moment, like, it just, I never want to be that couple. Because I know, we know what that looks like from the outside looking in. And it's like, they need to get their shit together. And
we had some shit to get together.
And I'm sure that they were looking at us like,
it's just the thing is, you know, everybody's got some shit to get together. You just hope that you're doing it behind closed doors so that it can be resolved quickly. Because I actually think it drug out much farther because we were in front of other people. I feel like we could have and would have handled that much better if it was just one-on-one.
Right.
And let's do it. But, like, I don't know. Something came over me because I wanted everybody to be a part of that. I really did. I'm like, speak, get in here, say your piece.
Yeah.
Because I'm not for what I'm hearing and you weren't for what you were hearing.
So how do you think, okay, so that's kind of how we recovered, which wasn't really a recovery. It was more like a crash. But how do you think people should recover? Like, if they find that they're in a situation where they're with other people and then they're with their girlfriend, boyfriend, or their husband, wife, and they're about to get into a fight, should they just, like, bite their tongue and be like, we'll talk about this later? Or should they be like, let's step outside and talk about this now?
No.
What?
We easily get offended by something the other person says. So if you're trying to avoid an argument or conversation, you have to actually put the effort in to do that. So when you're saying, like, let's talk about it later, it can't be given as a directive. It needs to be like, all right, there needs to be some sort of calm way to express that. And you have to take your other partner or person into account and share that message in a way that they're going to receive it. It can't seem like a challenge or anything else.
Yeah, I guess you're right. Because if we were about to argue about something, you were like, we'll talk about it later. I would definitely take that the wrong way in the moment, I think. I would be like, oh, I'll talk about it now. You know, like,
or if you make, like, some other comment that then turns into, here's, and so now there's salt and shade being thrown back and forth.
Right.
Even though you're not arguing about the thing that made you upset. That's just something I think every couple needs to work on. I think we've gotten a lot better at it, but this was clearly a failed day. It just was. It's just like everything you could do. It's like, attitude, argument in front of other people, involving people in the argument,
emotions,
silent treatment,
private conversation. What should have been a private conversation?
Leaving tables, coming back. Like, it was just a lot.
I don't think we've ever done that before. I mean, definitely.
Okay, well, now it sounds like, I don't think we've ever.
No, we haven't.
But
I mean, obviously, you know, we've argued and, like, made little comments, but that's life. But
I don't think we've ever done it in front of other people.
No, that's what I'm talking about. That's what I mean when I say, I don't think we've ever, like, had a argument in front of other people that I've been, like, truly, like, oh, we really, that officially made us.
No, because we usually don't take each other on like that. We were ready. I don't know why, we were ready.
It must have been the alcohol.
Well, I've also drank before, so that's why I'm like, I don't know that it was that. And it wasn't like we were at the vineyards. It wasn't some sort of, you know, exorbitant amount of wine. We just weren't there. But it was what it was. I learned the lesson, which is stick to your guns and do not have these type of conversations in front of people. And
wait. The lesson is not stick to your guns, because sticking to your guns keeps you in the conversation.
No, sticking to my guns, which is James is private. James doesn't talk about relationship conversations live with you in front of other people. Because I feel like personally that was amping me up. Like, there are people here who might agree with me. Like, let's get them in on this.
Right.
And I feel like that just added to the situation in a way that it didn't need to. So for me, sticking to my guns, not having that kind of conversation. And also, too, honestly, just trying not to take what the other person's saying offensively. Because I feel like it also could have ended at several points, but I feel like I was getting stuff back, and I was just like, absolutely not backing down.
Yes, you weren't backing down. I wasn't backing down. I thought it was, you're right. Like, I thought you were going to, for the sake of privacy, stop the conversation, because that's what you typically would do. And so because you weren't, I was like, oh, so we're here to rumble, you know, and it was a fail. You know what I mean? Like, it wasn't a good thing for either of us. My takeaway from that is, if your plane is crashing, do everything you can to stop it. So if you see that this is like going down in a spiral, try to think a few steps ahead and be like, how does this end?
Real talk.
And try to change it, even if that means you have to come back to it later. But like, that kind of ruined the rest of our day. That argument happened at lunch, and it really like took it into like 11 p.m. midnight that night with us going out. And a lot of that's on me because I kind of like hold on to things, but it just didn't even need to happen. So if you see your plane crashing, if you see a conversation going down, just stop it. Like, it's not worth it.
Only you can prevent forest fires. Exactly. So prevent it. Stop it.
I would love to get other people's stories about what kinds of arguments they've gotten into in front of other people, and if they've ever been embarrassed to this extent that we're describing. I don't want to be on an island on this one.
We're not.
Okay.
We definitely cannot be. Because the thing is, as much as we're talking about this now, it was not nearly as dramatic as things we have seen.
I guess.
So, yeah, I think it's bad for us.
And to our friends who may be listening, you know who you are. We are sorry. We are sorry about that day and sorry about that night. And you can just know that I was embarrassed. But we did have a good trip after that. So.
Yeah, it just is what it is. It was what it was.
All right. Next up, All Things Culture.
In All Things Culture, we highlight the most interesting things that cross our social feeds during the week. So, we're nearing the time for the AMC Best Picture Showcase. It's a 24-hour movie marathon that consists of all of the Best Picture nominees for the Oscars. The way that the event is structured is that you can watch all of the nominees' films starting usually around 10 a.m. on a Saturday, and you see them in succession, rolling usually to around 8 or 10 a.m. the next morning. We've been doing this for 5 years, so we figured out a few different ways for this to work. But the general process is you watch the films, you get to critique it with people who are kind of all there with you. It's a theater full of people. Following that, you should probably go to sleep and get a good 5-6 hours of rest if you can do that. Get up and eat, and then you can fully enjoy the Oscars knowing a good amount about what people are talking about. Do you think they should have won, not won? Did anybody kind of completely miss the ball with what happened there? That's what I get out of it. I don't know about you.
It's one of my favorite things to do every year. I was on the website right at like 9:45 or 9, it was supposed to be 9 o'clock, but that it didn't come at 9 o'clock. I was always there refreshing to get our seats. And my favorite part of it is just kind of like the cult following. I mean, you talk to people in the theater, everybody is just like happy to be there. Everybody's in a good mood. A lot of people are kind of like us and they've been doing it for several years. I went back into the Instagram to find when our first year was doing this, and this 2017 will officially be our 5th year of this marathon. And I wish more people were into it, because we've managed to get a couple friends here and there to join and watch it in their city or come visit us and watch it. But a lot of people are not dedicated to watching movies for 24 hours.
And I don't know why. I mean, I guess this is one area I struggle to say we geek out, because this is the way that you were talking about this cult following. Like, when people go to this, it's almost like it's like Comic-Con or something. It's not like people dress up, but like the passion people have for the idea of like, we're going to be here together and it's going to be fun. And like, after the movie, I don't even know your name, but I'm going to be like, did you think that so-and-so should have been nominated?
Right.
Did you like that scene? Or they totally could have done this better. It's just a great experience for anybody who kind of likes movies.
And all the movies obviously are amazing. They're the best.
Not all.
They're all amazing movies. Yes, they all aren't going to be number one, but almost every on the whole 5 years we've been doing this, 4 years we've been doing it, the movies are good. That's why it's compelling to sit there and watch 9 or 10 movies every year, because this is the best of the year. You know, in quotations, this is the best of the year.
According to the powers that be.
According to the powers that be, this is the best.
Academy of Motion Picture
and this year, I'm really looking forward to some of the movies. We've already seen Fences and Hidden Figures. Fences is amazing. So that's already number one in my book, and every movie's just going to be judged against that. But also Manchester by the Sea, people are raving about that movie, and people are truly raving about La La Land, which got the nominations.
Let me just go on the record saying that I'm pretty sure it's going to be La La Land or Moonlight. Now, if it
but
is,
you haven't seen either of those.
I just have a feeling. And the reason I have this feeling is for anybody who was watching the Best Picture nominees or happened to see it, there's a movie called Birdland, or was it Birdman? Birdman. And I just thought this was one of the most terrible movies out. It was so bad to me. And it was just about this actor who was trying to resurrect his acting career. And that's really what it was about. It was a weird mix of like sci-fi and all these things happening because he turned into a bird and was flying around. I mean, it's just too much was going on in this movie and it was just weird.
Sci-fi?
Yes. What was the guy's name? I can't even remember. But when he's standing in the hospital, he literally turned into this black bird and was flying around.
Yes, James, that was so. It was imagery, but it wasn't.
Yes, it wasn't supposed to be.
It wasn't science fiction.
It came off as science fiction, and it was terrible.
You probably watched that movie at like 3 o'clock in the morning.
It was terrible. And anyway, the fact of the matter is, people were raving about it. It's so great, and then of course it won Best Picture, and it was because Hollywood loves Hollywood.
Yeah, and that's why people think La La Land is going to win, because it's a movie about actors. And again, we haven't seen it, so we're totally. Well, at least I am. Maybe you aren't. I'm totally reserving, my true comments until after I see the movies.
I haven't seen Moonlight, and I have wanted to see that for so long. I really feel like it probably is going to be quite up there in terms of quality.
Yeah.
And the story is going to be good, and Mahershala Ali is up for best supporting actor, and I think he definitely should win it.
You don't know that. We haven't seen the other movies.
I'm telling you, I have a feeling.
Oh my goodness. You just strong. Said, I think he definitely should.
Okay, and that's my feeling. That's my feeling. That's my feeling with conviction. I feel with conviction Viola should win. I would love for her to win because then she would become an EGOT, which is just so amazing. I'm really hoping she can pull that off.
Yeah, well, anytime Viola does well, Denzel does well, that's always good for everybody. They're amazing actors. So it's no surprise that they both won the SAG Award in their categories. But what we do want to do is extend the invitation formally to anybody listening to the podcast. If you are really a movie lover like we are, and you think that you can kind of handle being in a theater for about 24 hours watching all these great films, check out the AMC Best Picture Showcase. There's usually one in every big city. And they also have an option to break it out into 2 days. I don't really like that option, but if you don't want to sit there all day, that's another option. Some pro tips for if you decide to do it. One, bring your own snacks and healthy snacks at that, and bring your own water. Because our first year, we didn't bring anything, and we had to eat a lot of nachos and popcorn. And by the end of it, you just felt disgusting.
I wanted them to hook me up to an IV so I could just like have fluids for a couple days. I just didn't want anything else. And also, you will play yourself if you don't bring anything because you will just be at that movie concession stand looking dumb, swiping and swiping again.
Yeah. And all the theaters are really good about you bringing in food because you're going to be there for a long time. So you don't really have to worry about it. Everybody brings a backpack.
Another tip. Bring a toothbrush, bring a
washcloth. And a facial. Yeah,
something to freshen up.
Freshen up.
It will help you stay awake and it will just help you feel better. Because when you hit that like 2 a.m. mark and they switch movies, you're going to need something to help you keep going. Because this is not like, oh, I'm out of the club. You are sitting in the dark for another 2 hours and then you got to do it again. Usually around 5 o'clock is when they start the last movie.
Another pro tip, wear layers. You really should be wearing sweatpants or workout pants. A light shirt underneath and also a hoodie so that if you get cold, you have your hoodie, you won't get cold. But if it gets warm, which it will get warm because a lot of people are in that theater for a long time, you can take that hoodie off.
Real talk. I mean, for the dudes, definitely, get some basketball shorts or something like that, because at one point it was just extreme heat and I was in a t-shirt and shorts in the theater because it was that hot. And also too, you just want to be really comfortable.
Yeah.
You want to be really comfortable because it kind of upsets your experience if you're kind of fussy with your clothes because you're going to be wearing the same thing for 24 hours.
Last pro tip is if you've seen any of the movies before, don't watch them again. Get out of the theater, go get yourself some food. Just
take a nap.
Just take a nap outside. Do that because A, you've already seen it, and B, you're just going to appreciate that time. So they do give you like 20 minute breaks in between the movies and like an hour at dinner. But if you have already seen a movie, go ahead and sit that one out. Maybe somebody else will have the opportunity to sit in your good seat if you're gone. But everybody's really cool about, you know, keeping the seats as they were originally reserved, or as you originally had them. So again, it's always a good crowd.
And this year they did reserve seats in New York. So
I know, which is amazing. We've normally had to go wait outside for like 2 hours, which is fine. I mean, we always were like excited, but now to just know, oh, we have two seats in the back on the end. We're good.
Pretty much done and done.
Again, if you want to go to this, if you want to go to it in New York, let us know that you're coming. But check out the showcase in your own city. You'll have a great time.
Go Moonlight.
All right, that is it for the podcast this week. We are happy to be back, and we plan to be back on every Thursday, right?
Yes.
And looking forward to sharing more with you.
All right.
Bye.
Have a good week, guys.